Schon wieder Bewerberflaute? Sie schalten Anzeige um Anzeige. Das nervt und ist doch viel zu teuer. Stopp! Raus aus der Recruiting-Spirale. Mit StepStone All Jobs bekommen Sie alle Anzeigen für ein Jahr in einem Paket zu einem fixen Preis. So sparen Sie bis zu 75% Kosten pro Bewerbung und sind jederzeit flexibel. Jetzt Termin vereinbaren auf stepstone.de/alljobs. StepStone. Einfach die richtigen Talente finden für alle Jobs.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the program. We got lots to get to. Dan Andrews is here to hop on the Caitlin Clark bandwagon. Glenn Beck joins us for a lesson in modern disaster prepping. But we start by doing the media's economic rehab. And like, remember the old days? You go back to like Blockbuster Video to rent a movie for the weekend, and you'd walk in, you'd be like, oh, the rom-com section's there, and you got the drama section, the action section. Tonight, you'd have to go to get tonight's show in the horror section, because I want to attempt to scare you a little bit today. I feel like people are, generally speaking, understandably confident that Joe Biden is so bad and Donald Trump is probably going to beat him. And, you know, this is good. There's a lot of evidence to support that. But I want to just give you, I want to give you the creepy guy who's outside the window for a second. Maybe he's just walking by. Maybe he's a normal guy. It's going to be no murders that happen in your house that night. But maybe, just maybe, it's, you know, Jason Voorhees, right? And so let me kind of walk you through this. And it kind of comes under the banner of just media versus reality. I think this election is going to be a fascinating experiment in a competition between media and reality. Forever, the mainstream media has been able to convince the American people of whatever they want, really. They set the narrative and they, you know, people get to go down this road and they follow it. And over time, this has been chipped away at, to the point of like, it almost feels like it's not real anymore. Can the media really control a narrative anymore? We're about to find out, because what they're going to try to do is rehab this Biden economy to a point that will allow Joe Biden to win. Now, if people really feel this badly about the economy, as badly as they do now, it's going to be really hard for Joe Biden to win. I think if the election happened today, Trump would likely win. However, go forward a few months and give the media the time to really set in their narratives. They've been doing it for a while. They've been building this slowly. And over time, there's a good chance they will be successful if we're not careful and if we don't do everything we can to make sure people know the truth. And if you don't believe me, I mean, we were prepping this monologue actually last night because I wanted to make this point. I've been wanting to make it for a while. And I woke up this morning and looked at the New York Times Daily podcast. This is their flagship podcast, one of the top two or three podcasts in America. And you think, like, what are they going to do to manipulate the American people on the economy? Let me give you the headline of today's podcast. The accidental tax cutter in chief. President Biden says he wants to rake in more money than from corporations and high earners. But so far, he has cut more taxes than he's raised. Huh? Really? Now, first of all, they finally covered a broken promise from the president of the United States. It's that he didn't raise taxes enough. Ugh, this is what the media is going to do. Secondarily, their justification for this tax cut, I could do a whole show on it. Basically, they were saying, oh, well, when you give away, cash to solar panel companies, that's a tax cut. And when you send just checks to the American people out of nowhere and it causes all the inflation, that's actually a tax cut. You don't have to believe their case, though, to get the point of this. Let me just give you some more. It's not just the New York Times. Let me give you some headlines from around the media. It's the Biden versus Trump economy. And hell no, it's not even close. The facts are clear. Biden has overseen a stronger economy than Trump did. That reality should dominate his reelection campaign, should it? Biden goes into 2024 with the economy getting stronger, but voters feel horrible about it. Biden pulls even with Trump as economic view improves slightly, a CNBC survey shows. The U.S. economy is doing well, period. That's not a conflicted statement by CNN. That's just the truth to them. President Biden wants to know why so many Americans are still feeling bad. Biden's economy keeps messing up Trump's message, says Politico. You can't blame the president when policies go wrong and then say he's not responsible if things are going right. See, the economy is so good, it's getting in the way of Trump's messaging. Americans feel better about the economy. Is it an opening for Biden to court new voters? U.S. economy, the envy of the world. Biden takes on Trump's big advantage, says Al Jazeera. The envy of the world. That's where you guys live. You're in the envy of the economic world. The Biden stock market is swamping Trump's. Would you believe this crap? How about U.S. economy performs far better under Democrats than Republicans, says a study of some apparent foreign land that I've never heard of before. But the whole point is clear. The media is going to do this constantly, and they have been doing it for a while. They're trying to promote this economy as a real strong point for Joe Biden. Here's the thing. This is clear to everybody who watches this stuff and knows anything about election politics. If they are successful at this, there's a really good chance Joe Biden will win the election. Full stop. That is the truth. If they are successful in rehabbing this economy, a lot of the rest of the stuff isn't going to matter. It's not going to be enough for Donald Trump to win. You could say, well, wait a minute. He's doing all this weird stuff with transing kids and all this other nonsense. That should be enough. It should be in some ways, but it's not. And if the economy is okay, there's likely a chance that Joe Biden will win. And whether the economy is okay or not is not really the factor here. The question is, what do people believe about the economy? What do they feel? Now, you know it and I know it. You go to the grocery store, you feel a difference in the economy. You're feeling it every single day. You're feeling it in your mortgage payments. You're feeling it in all sorts of different ways. The question, though, is, can the media overtake reality? Can they defeat reality and therefore allow Biden to defeat Donald Trump? March economic confidence steady, still improved from fall. The economic view of the economy is at minus 20. That's a terrible number. So am I telling you this is about to start working, or am I telling you that it's already working? There are signs that it's already beginning to work. And if this does work, again, this is a really good thing for Joe Biden. This is the Economic Confidence Index from January 20th to March 2024. Of course, it starts, coming very, very high. Then COVID hits. It comes down. When Joe Biden gets elected, it is about minus 20 or so. It rises a little bit after Biden is elected. And then the Biden economy sort of kicks in. Inflation kicks in. It drops down to minus 60 in mid-2022. Since then, we have seen a relatively consistent rise with some ups and downs, but a rise. It has now improved from minus 60 to minus 20. Now, minus 20 is still not a good number, but look at the last 6 months on this chart. We've gone from basically a 20-point gain for Joe Biden in the last 6 months. And that's not reflected everywhere in the horse race polls as of yet. We're not seeing this where, like, Joe Biden is defeating Donald Trump consistently. Those polls have slightly tightened. I mean, the last average of national polls I looked at, which was about 2 days ago, was Joe Biden trailing Donald Trump by 0.8 points in the national average of polls. Now, you might not agree with the polls. You might think they're all biased. You could think all sorts of things about it. But, like, it's certainly a reason to concern. There's certainly somebody outside the backyard window. Who is it? Is it the garbage man running late on a shift? Or is it Michael Myers? I don't know. I'm concerned it could be Michael Myers. Let me give you this. Americans' rating of economic conditions. This is same time period, January 2020 to March 2024. Excellent and good, only fair or poor are the three measures. And what you see is from about mid-2022, where only 10% thought the economy was excellent or good, that has risen pretty consistently from that period, a period of the government and the media saying over and over again that the gas prices are coming down and inflation is coming down and things are improving and don't worry and things are great and why aren't people paying attention? That has gone from from 10% to 30%. The people who think it is poor has dropped from about 53-54% down to 39%. And the people in the middle, people think it's only fair, is dropping as well. Those people are going to the group of people who think the economy is good. Now, part of this is not just people saying, oh, actually, the economy is improving. Part of this is people going back to their partisan roots, right? It's very, very consistent for people who are, let's say, Democrats, to see a Democratic president and in between a couple of elections complain a lot about that Democratic president. But then when it comes down to election time, they all of a sudden realized the economy isn't quite as bad as they thought it was. We saw this with Barack Obama. Barack Obama's approval rating was in the 40s. You know, it wasn't anything super impressive, but it did improve as we got closer and people saw a binary choice, one of which they don't like. And of course, also saw their guy and wanted to defend their guy. That's part of what's going on. But the media beating the drum on the economy is a part of this as well. Americans' outlook for the economy. This is, of course, is the economy getting better? Or is it getting worse? This was about 15% in mid-2022, people saying it was getting better. That has risen again pretty consistently with some ups and downs, bumps in the road, but now has more than doubled to 33%, where it was, the people think the economy is getting worse has dropped from about 85% to 63%. Now, that's still not good. It's still not good, but we are seeing progress being made by the left and their allies in the media manipulating people into believing things are getting so much better. Now, of course, we have seen a drop in the inflation rate. Prices are still increasing. They are not decreasing, but they are increasing at a lower rate. There is some evidence for people to say, well, things aren't quite as bad as they were in mid-2022. But the point of this is they are going to be barraged, and they have been barraged for months, but it's going to get much, much more intense with messages of how great this economy is. It's not going to be apologizing for it anymore. It's going to be, this is gangbusters. You're going to be hearing that unless something massive changes. Here is the political party split, by the way, if you want to see that. Democrats who back in October of 2023, this is what, 6 months ago, were saying basically like no real confidence, like basically zero. Has risen to 35, from 0 to 35. Among independents, it's gone from minus 40 to minus 28. Even among Republicans, it's gone from minus 80 to minus 62. Progress being made in their messaging. This is a real messaging effort, and they're going for it. And let me just give you this before we leave. This is what it, historically what it looks like if you want to get elected. 2004, Bush got elected. He was barely positive in this measure, 1%. 2008, of course, the incumbent party did not get elected. Barack Obama won. Why? It was minus 72 in this measure. 2012, Barack Obama, again, just got to minus 1, about even, and was reelected. 2016, right around minus 1. This is a break-even point. Close elections all around it and when you're around this level. For Donald Trump, it meant that he was able to overturn the sitting party and win. Minus 4 in 2020 for Donald Trump, well, he lost. And here we are in 2024. They're still at minus 20. They have to make a lot of room up. But if they can get back to about even, this election is in real question. All they need is to get back to around even. A little bit above, they're probably in good shape. A little bit below, maybe not so well. But right around that even point is a real indicator of where these elections go. Joe Biden is going to do everything he can to make sure he does not lose power. This is going to be an election that could very well be closer than any of us are hoping for, and also could turn the wrong way at any moment. So, what do you do about that? Make sure you're vocal with people that you know about what is really going on, because don't assume they're going to get the truth from the media. They very rarely do. You remember your mom back in the day telling you, you got to eat your fruits and vegetables. It's good for you. You got to eat it. It's going to make you healthy. And you said, oh, yeah, sure. Does ketchup count? And you never really wanted to get your fruits and vegetables. It was work. You didn't really want to eat them. But you knew that they were healthy. We all know that. Well, the average person doesn't even eat half of the recommended servings of fruits and vegetables in a day. That's a giant gap in nutrition. And of course, inflation has increased the cost of fruits and vegetables as well. They're harder to get. They cost more. That's why Balance of Nature is here. They provide an on-the-go solution, and they haven't raised their prices in 10 years. Their proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables come in easy-to-swallow capsules, and it will give your body so much of the nourishment it needs. Imagine trying to eat 31 different kinds of produce in a single day. I didn't even know there were 31 types of fruits and vegetables. Well, with Balance of Nature, they put them all in there, all the stuff that you need, fruits and veggies that you need on the go. You don't have to sit through like some weird soup concoction that has them all in there. Just take a couple of capsules, you're done. Balanceofnature.com, you'll get 35% off right now, plus 10 bucks off with any additional sets that you get on your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STEW. It's limited to 5 sets, but you'll save a ton of money while getting fruits and vegetables that you need in your diet. Go to balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code STEW. Get 35% off now. Balanceofnature.com. I'm joined now by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up next, 9 p.m. Eastern on Blaze TV. Be sure to stay tuned for it. It's called Prepping 101, the step-by-step guide to surviving global chaos.
Which, I mean, I don't know why we had to have a gas mask.
I don't know what it is about that. It's something about like internet promotion.
Yeah, I think it is.
You have to make you have to make yourself look insane for anyone to click on it.
Correct.
So this is not an insane Glenn Beck conspiracy theory. This is not you're going into a bunker somewhere. You're saying maybe it is.
No, it's not. It's not. It is. I mean, my family is now preparing for any kind of tragic, you know, event that could happen any time between now and, you know, the time of the next inauguration. I think we are headed for turbulent times. And because of that, I think there's a lot of people that are taking prepping seriously, and the New York Times has even reported that it is now on the left as well.
Yeah.
People left, right, doesn't matter. A lot of people are now preparing. When they say a lot of people, that means about 30 million people. That's what the estimates are. 30 million people are preparing for hard times. That's less than 10% of the country. And I hope you have bullets, because with less than 10%, that means 90% of your neighborhood is coming to your house.
Yeah. So don't advertise this necessarily.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't necessarily tell everyone.
Correct.
We're going through tonight is kind of how to do this, basically, because I don't think people, they might know have some food. They might know have some water. People don't really have a
plan. I think we're looking at a completely different scenario than we were prior. You know, we're looking now at a possible global war, which an EMP would be involved, just because if there were nukes that were used, that results in an EMP. You have countries that want to destroy our power grid now. That would be the same almost as an EMP. We're also looking at financial collapse. We're looking at the collapse of farming, et cetera, the collapse of trucking. So there's lots of things that could happen. Collapse of the monetary system. I believe many of those things will happen. I don't know which happens first, but many of those things can and will happen. And I just know I want to be prepared for it. And you might have, you know, like I know you have duck sauce. You know, and soy sauce.
Soy sauce, too. Yeah. In packets.
That's not going to be good. So we're going to take you all the way.
It lasts a very long time. What do you mean it's not going to be good?
Well, it will be good.
Okay.
It will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be good for you and your children after about 2 days.
Yeah,
because you'll have sucked it all out of the little teeny packets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to remember there's 3 minutes you can survive without air. 3 days you can survive without water. 3 weeks average for food. I would last a little longer because my body would consume itself for quite a while. But 3 weeks without any kind of food. And then beyond that, you know, if you're not prepared for food and water, you're not going to make it past 3 weeks. Do you have your medication? What happens?
Medication's a big one you just don't think about.
And 3 days is such an important time period because you have 3 days to get to where your family is going to meet or where you want to be. I personally believe that when things happen, it will happen so quickly that you will most likely be where you are. So, like, we have a cabin and a ranch up in the mountains. I don't know if we'll ever get there. Because if we're not there when it happens, you're going to drive across the country. You're going to get onto a flight. You saw what happened on September 11th. And I think we are going to be looking. There's a possibility that we're looking at massive terrorist attacks sometime between now and January. If that were to happen, and I hope it doesn't, and I hope all of this is nonsense, but if that were to happen, do you think you're going to get in the car and drive across the country to wherever it is you're supposed to be?
I mean, that used to be the way things were. No matter what happened, you'd be able to drive across the country. I mean, that was always protected.
There's massive terrorist attacks in multiple locations. the chaos that will ensue. They'll do what they did when that gunman was loose, or the bomber was loose in Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
They just shut everybody, stay in your house. They'll just shut everything down.
Well, I don't think you could do that on a societal basis. I mean, can you imagine a president and an administration coming out and saying, hey,
crazy.
No one can leave their house for
like
weeks
COVID.
At a time.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it'd be like. Walk me through like what level this is, because you have the situation where I had the opportunity to watch you sort of prep over there as we were getting ready. And like, you know, you have the bug out bag level, right? First of all, I don't like the terminology bug out bag because it makes you seem completely insane.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, I've gone insane. I have a bag.
Right.
But like, that's a really basic thing everybody should have. Right?
Yes. Everybody should have that in the trunk of their car. First aid kit, you know, if you live in a place where there's seasons, you should have a change of clothes, a jacket, warm clothing, cool clothing, shoes that are comfortable for walking and hiking or whatever. You know, some food, maybe a sleeping bag or at least a little space blanket or something like that. There are things that you should have in your car for a myriad of reasons. Mm-hmm. Then we take it all the way to... you know, an EMP. Is your home protected? Is your car protected? An EMP goes off. You're looking at Tom Cruise in War of the Worlds. Do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
EMP goes off. No cars work. His does, because the chip was out and he had a chip. That's not going to happen in real life. You have to protect your car, and you can do that, and we'll show you how.
Mm.
But we have all of it from, you know, just a weekend in the woods that has gone wrong because you ran out of gas, all the way to the apocalypse.
How do you find the line on where, from bug out bag to apocalypse, where you draw the line? Because obviously at some point it's diminishing returns, right? Like you can't be prepared for everything. You can't have 50 years of food storage. There's some line you have to come to where it's like, okay, I've knocked out 95% of the possibilities. If the last 5% happen, I'm probably screwed. Where do you draw the line? Because you could invest every money, every dollar you have into preparation, and then how do you live life? You have no line. I can tell, by the way, you're not answering this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't have a line. I have a line of what would you do if the world looked dramatically different and we had to go back 100 years? There's no technology. How do you survive? Well, you farm. And so do you have any farm animals? Do you, you know, if you want to be in a place where you're not drawing a line, you have to be able to have your place, a farm, and be able to go back in time. And that's really difficult. I make that about a week because there's way too much work.
Yes.
Way too much work.
Really hard. But do you even know how to do it? I mean, you probably do. I wouldn't. I mean,
I don't, but I surrounding myself, and this is one of the things we're going to talk about. I'm surrounded in a, you know, I didn't buy a place in Jackson Hole where everybody comes in to ski and it's great.
Right.
No, Muffy's here.
Right.
I wanted a community that was small, good people, God-centered, and farmers that knew what to do. And I highly recommend that. If you really believe something's wrong, you need to be in a community of like-minded people. Best, even Christopher Hitchens said this this week, or Dawkins.
I was going to say, if he's still talking, that's surprising.
No, Christopher
he's dead.
Dawkins mm-hmm. said that he wants to live in a Christian culture.
Cultural Christian
community.
Right.
He said, not because I'm a Christian, not because I believe in God, but because I think that culture is good and safe and produces good things. That's the kind of community you need to be in.
You mentioned farming and, you know, needing vegetables and all the things that you would need in that situation. How much of your preparation and what level does it need to get to for you to make soup in a bathtub?
All you need is a crazy mom.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Mm.
You know, I was just talking to my oldest friend, Robert. He's like my brother. We grew up together.
Yeah.
But after my mother had died. And he said, I've never heard the bathtub story.
I have never heard it either. I thought I heard all your stories. You told us on a radio case for people who didn't hear
shocking
it.
Shocking.
Glenn's mom made soup in the bathtub after, as he points out,
it was clean. Yeah.
And then she
would clean the bathtub, mm-hmm. and then we would spend all summer snapping peas and beans and everything else, and she would make vegetable soup. But she'd make so much of it, she'd have to mix it in the bathtub. And then she would put it in canning jars, and she'd pour the tomatoes, you know, in, and then can it. So it would pasteurize it, and then you would cook it.
And you kind of said this with like a straight face, as if no one would think it was odd at all that you had brought that up.
Oh, I didn't think it was odd when I was growing up. I do think it's odd
okay,
now.
All right.
You know, but that's when people used to can all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother canned, my aunt canned. You know, nobody cans anymore. I mean, that's, if you can can this summer, that's food storage.
Right.
We always have, because my grandparents went through the Great Depression, they canned all the time. They canned everything. We had fish in jars. It was weird, okay? But they canned absolutely everything because they used to always say, you don't know how fast things can turn around. You don't know how fast things could get bad. Mm.
And I honestly think for a long time I wouldn't have believed that. But I mean, look at COVID. I mean, we were there. We were all like, I went to a basketball game in like early March of 2020 with 25,000 people around me. And 2 weeks later, or a week later,
nothing.
No one could go out of their house.
Think of this. The Biden administration just killed the gig economy. Mm. Okay. I've talked to trucking companies, people who own trucking companies. All of the drivers are in the gig economy because they want to be.
Right.
They want to set their own hours, do what they want to do. Well, if that actually is enforced, you don't have trucks delivering across the country. You don't have trucking companies that go out of business because they can't afford to pay people the wages, plus give them health care and benefits and everything else and buy all the trucks. That's not the way it's set up in America. Mm.
Well, I can tell you I'm much more prepared than I used to be, largely because of this gentleman shaming me over multiple years. So allow him to shame you tonight. It's 9 p.m. Eastern. Glenn Beck, Prepping 101, the step-by-step guide to surviving global chaos. Stay tuned. And, of course, watch on Blaze TV. It's blazetv.com/Stu. You can use the code Stu to save $20 off your subscription. Glenn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, I got a couple of stories here that I only got 2 minutes to get to them, so let me get to it. Hillary Clinton was on TV for some reason. Who could possibly understand why you'd want her on television? But she was on with, I guess, was it Jimmy Fallon? And she was asked a question about whether, you know, what should people do who are just like not interested in any of these guys? They don't like, they're not happy with either candidate, Trump or Biden. And she said, get over yourself. Now, that's an interesting piece of advice coming from Hillary Clinton, of all people, a person who somehow is still in the public eye after losing in 2016. That was a long time ago. That was 8 years ago. And she's still out there blabbing constantly. But she says that one is old and effective and compassionate and has a heart and really cares about people, describing Biden. The other is old and has been charged with 91 felonies. That's her analysis here. There are two choices, binary choice. Got to choose one of the choices. You're politicians. What are those two choices? First of all, you don't owe any politician your vote. Okay, they have to earn it from you. That counts for Trump. It counts for Biden. It counts for RFK. It counts for anybody. You don't owe anyone your vote. You vote for who you believe has earned your vote. That's number one. Number two, like, is there any thought of maybe trying to reach out to people? Like, it's fascinating to watch these parties operate. I mean, Donald Trump is blessed with the dumbest enemies one can have. And that is maybe his greatest blessing, because you'd think you'd be reaching out to the other side and saying, hey, like, let me convince you. No, it's just get over yourself. That's the way it goes. By the way, before we go, I've got to tell you about an update from Calamity Pete. He wants Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Calamity Pete, announcing he wants a new rule to bolster rail safety. He wants to put more people on trains, more crew on trains, and he's saying this has to do something to do with rail safety. But knowing what we know about Calamity Pete, isn't it more likely he wants more people on trains so that when he derails them, more people will die? I'm just throwing that out there as a question. I mean, it's a legitimate question at this point with Calamity Pete. I'm concerned about where this goes. And honestly, at this point, I would try to keep as few people as possible on any vehicle he has a say over, because as we've seen over and over again, Calamity seems to follow him. We spoke earlier with Mr. Glenn Beck. You know, he's a guy who, first of all, in his home, apparently was making soup in bathtubs. So I don't know if you want to take advice from him, but he did say, hey, if you're going to have a house and you need to cook, you know, put the soup and mix it in a bathtub, you might as well have a great house. And that's why he created realestateagentsitrust.com. I'm pretty sure that's the story. Realestateagentsitrust.com is a place to go to find the best agent in your area. You know this. You probably knew it by hearing the name of the website, realestateagentsitrust.com. You need an agent you can trust. You need someone who's going to be on your side in any transaction, whether you're buying or selling a home. A lot of people, when they're buying, are like, I'll just take whatever agent's there. Don't do that. Have someone on your side of the transaction. Realestateagentsitrust.com. This is where you find the best agent, no matter where you are in the country, whether you're moving across the street or across the country. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. By the way, this is a free service to you, so why not check it out? Realestateagentsitrust.com. I'm joined now by Dan Andros, managing editor at CBN News and host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to right now wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Caitlin Clark. That's really the only thing I'm very into the Caitlin Clark story, as you know. It's funny because growing up, Dan and I grew up together, and I would say, I don't know, 30% of our time was spent making fun of women's basketball. That was pretty much what we did most of the time. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm all in. I'm a bandwagon fan. I'm in on the Caitlin Clark thing. Seemingly everybody else is. Let me give these ratings for reference here. LSU Iowa drew 12.3 million viewers. This is higher than every Major League Baseball game last year, higher than every NBA game except for Game 5 of the Finals, and higher than every college football game last season outside of the college football playoffs, OSU Michigan, and the SEC Championship. That's it. This is women's basketball. Did you ever think we'd see this day?
No, and but I don't think we should get it twisted, though. I don't think it's there's this large interest in women's basketball. I think it's more just Caitlin Clark is awesome. Like, she is a spectacle. And she's shooting. I mean, she's taking shots that most NBA guys won't take.
Right.
I mean, and that's in an era where NBA guys are chucking threes at historic rates. And I mean, she is literally shooting Steph Curry, Dame Lillard type threes, which is hard for anyone to do. You don't see that in the men's tournament. I don't see anybody in the men's tournament doing that. And the way she's doing it, taking step backs and stuff. So she is on a whole nother level. And I think anytime there's greatness like that, you're drawn to it. So and so when I watch the women's basketball game, I'm not like, you know, Angel Reese, who was the big player on the other team. I'm watching her. I'm like, oh, she's OK. But like, I'm not like stopping what I'm doing to go check out what Angel Reese is doing. Like, I mean, when Caitlin Clark is shooting from 45 feet or whatever she's doing all the time, you're just waiting for it. And it's spectacular. And it's like golf, right? Like when Tiger Woods hit the scene, how many people were watching golf because and didn't care at all about golf and thought it was the worst sport ever, but you got into Tiger because Tiger was just great. People love greatness. And that's what we're seeing with Caitlin Clark.
Well, I'm sorry, Dan, I have to issue a pre-cancellation alert to you. You are on the verge of being canceled because what you just said about Tiger Woods destroys the narrative about racism that we're supposed to have here, because the whole thing is we only care about Caitlin Clark because she's white.
She would never care about
a black player. But your Tiger Woods point seems to make an alternate take us down an alternate logic path that is not OK.
Yeah, that's so weird. And it's almost like people watch Patrick Mahomes because he's great and watch all these other players. It's so weird. It's almost like when people are great, it doesn't matter if they're purple or whatever. I mean, people watch Dennis Rodman. The guy was dressing up in dresses back in the 90s, and people wanted to see how many rebounds Dennis Rodman would get or whatever. I mean, it helped. He was on a team with Michael Jordan, so maybe not the best
example.
And then
he solved the North Korea crisis. I mean, you can't take that away from him in his legacy.
Right, right. I mean, just a legend. I mean, he's practically Gandhi.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, like, it's just... You know, I don't know. I mean, you're looking at greatness there, and it doesn't matter what the color people are. You're going to watch greatness. You're going to gravitate towards it. And look, adding to the fuel to the fire here, Stu, was this rivalry that, you know, this was the championship game from last year, and there was all this brouhaha about, oh, well, Caitlin Clark's allowed to talk trash, and she doesn't get any grief because she's white. And when Angel Reese does it, she gets grief, and she's portrayed as a villain because she's black. And that's one of the things I wanted to address today, Stu, because that frustrated me so much last year, that whole narrative, because it wasn't, nobody cares about trash talking. It's fine. But there's like a line you cross in the way you do it, right? Because Caitlin Clark got, she got, they said, well, she did the whole, you can't, they can't see me thing. Well, the difference was she did it running off the court to, towards no one in particular. Mm-hmm. She was just kind of excited after a big play or whatever. Angel Reese, like, did that at Caitlin Clark when the game was over, and with just like a disgusted look on her face. Caitlin Clark had done nothing to Angel Reese, had said nothing to Angel Reese, didn't even notice she was doing it. It was just like she was catching strays. It was so bizarre and just so out of context and just so unnecessary. After the game was over, there was no, it wasn't like they were going back and forth and one was hitting one shot in the other one's face and the other one was, and they were jawing. Everyone right. understands that. Everybody understands that. That to me is why she gets this bad rap on it. It's just because of the way she did it. It was just so out of nowhere and unnecessary. And then she turns around and plays the victim card on it.
Yeah, and I think like part of the reason why the Caitlin Clark thing works for people is that, you know, she last year she sort of, Jason Whitlock said this, last year she lost with grace, and this year she won with grace. And it was the exact opposite with Angel Reese. Last year she won, you know, kind of like a jerk, and this year she lost and complained and whined about it the entire time. Like, nobody likes players who do that. It doesn't matter what color you are. If you're going to be the type of people person who's going to lose a big match like this, a revenge match, when you kind of called it on, I mean, you were the one getting in her face last time. This time you lose and you kind of run away and complain about how mean people are to you online. Nobody likes that. I don't care what color you are.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's kind of where I feel she's at. And then and someone in her circles would, it would be great if she had someone in her circles to say, hey, and I feel bad because she's, I don't want to dump on her because she's in college. And I mean, I was an idiot in college. And so
I can confirm
if that. I was ever in the spotlight and, you know, having to deal with all this stuff, there's no way I would handle it well. So, you know, but someone on that level, it'd be nice if she had some good advisors to sort of walk her through, like, well, this is what it looks like on camera when you do X, Y, and Z. And you've got to know and you've got to learn, especially now with social media at an earlier age, how to manage that, right? Like, understand what things are going to look like. And then understand how to react, like, when you don't do something well, right? Like, she might have been excited they were winning the championship, and she might have been frustrated Caitlin Clark was getting all the press and she wasn't. And then she did the whole thing in her face at the end unnecessarily. Well, after the game, go, you know what? I was just excited. I you know what? I just let my emotions get the better of me there.
Yeah,
totally, you know,
fine.
Caitlin's great. Like manage the situation. No one's telling her to do. Where are the people in her circle that are saying, look, the Angel, this is how you do it? She obviously doesn't have them. They're just sort of feeding into the victim narrative. And she's, which of course we know the mainstream media loves that. So she's just rolling with it.
Yeah. And it's such a, I mean, look, a completely absurd narrative in every single way. Look, what are we trying to convince people of? I mean, look, there have been a lot of real instances of racism over the years. We've covered so many of them and, of course, looked at our history and seen it. But, like, I feel like there have been incidents of black players getting good publicity in the NBA. I feel like there's not a shortage of positive media attention going toward black players in right. the NBA. Like, we have multiple examples of people who've been praised for decades over this. Like, this has not been an area where there's been tons and tons of racism for a long time. The idea that now we're like, oh, we got to talk about all the white players instead of black players. I mean, it happened last year with Jokic and Joel Embiid when the MVP, like, this stupid narrative continues to exist, and it's only the media who's keeping it on life support.
Yeah, 100%. Because you're right. Like, what you really drill down on this, and you're like, okay, well, what is actually she saying here? She's saying that she is a victim of all of this systemic racism that is just constantly pressuring on people. But to your point, this is just, I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but Angel Reese is not the first black person to play basketball.
What?
I mean, it happens to be a sport dominated for whatever reason. The best players, most of them happen to be black. I don't know why, but it is what it is. And for this narrative to pop out, it just seems utterly ridiculous to lead on that in the midst of this situation when so many before her have been praised who are great players and get their rightful amount of play. I mean, gosh, even in the women's circles, you got Cheryl Miller. They're talking about her all the time, and she was a phenomenal player and also black. And
Cheryl Swoops.
Lots of credit.
Right,
and she grew up in an era where it was definitely a longer time ago and probably a lot more racism.
Well, before we go, one other connection to basketball, Paul Pierce, former NBA star for the Celtics, he got into this racism conversation as well somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the exact quote, but he essentially was shocked that Caitlin Clark, this white girl, beat a whole bunch of black girls. That's how I'm paraphrasing Paul Pierce here. I didn't say that. And he's getting all kinds of grief for that. And like, my reaction to that is like, okay, look, was it well said? No. But he's saying the quiet part out loud. Anybody who plays basketball knows that this is just a thing, right? You generally, as we were saying, you generally consider that black players are better than white players. That's just that's the starting point when you come into a situation. I mean, Larry Bird famously said that he didn't want white guys guarding him because he thought it was insulting. He's white too, which makes it funnier. But that's true. I mean, any white guy who's gone in and played basketball and you're the only white guy there, it's, you know, if you do anything good, it's just like this total shock. And everyone's like, whoa, look at this. A white guy's doing something. So it's just the way it is.
It does seem to be that way at times. And I think it's funny that, like, I guess even when you're, like, it's racism no matter what you say. Like, Paul Pierce can't say, no one can say anything. Maybe if we just kind of stop talking about this all the time, maybe if you did the Morgan Freeman thing that he said on, I think it was 60 Minutes, where he's like, I don't know, let's just stop talking about it. How about that? How about not focus? Yeah. Don't call me a black actor. Just call me an actor. Maybe if we get to that position, some of this will die down finally.
The human race, Stu. We're all part of the human race. That's our main trait that we have in common.
Wouldn't that be nice? Dan Andrews, managing editor of CBN News. Be sure to check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast. Head over there and subscribe today. Dan, thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Stu.
As our nation and culture sink deeper and deeper into an immoral quicksand, it's obvious men have lost their way. And we're not the righteous and courageous leaders America needs now more than ever. We've lost our willingness to sacrifice for the betterment of mankind and in the service of the kingdom. That realization by a lot of people inspired Jason Whitlock to create the Fearless Army and its annual roll call event. It's an all-day men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee. It invites believers to fellowship together across our superficial differences and adopt the mindset and strategies that will allow us to conquer the forces tearing apart this country. Jason has partnered with country music star John Rich for Roll Call 2.0. It's presented by Preborn on Saturday, June 1st in Nashville. Come for the great music, the food, the fellowship, and you can be transformed by the biblically inspired messages delivered by Jason, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many, many more. As it says in Hebrews, godly men must come together and encourage each toward love and good deeds. So go to fearlessarmyrollcall.com, fearlessarmyrollcall.com. You can reserve your spot today. Don't miss out. This is a great event last year. I know a lot of people enjoyed it, and it's going to be a great one. And Nashville's also just a freaking fun city, so you'll like it. fearlessarmyrollcall.com. We'll see you tomorrow.